Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show, the show where no one knows where the show is going to go. I don't even know where the conversation is going to go, but I can guarantee that this show is going to be interesting and it's going to be worthy of sharing it with your friends. So before we get too much further into the show, go ahead and hit that share button, share it with your friends, and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I am bringing to you some very interesting, entertaining, yet educational guests. Our first guest is Arden McLaughlin. She is the founder of Definite Publicity, and she has a natural gift of storytelling. Good morning, Arden. How are you?
Good morning. How are y'all?
We are wonderful. Thank you for joining us. Our next guest.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You're excited over there. It's like people.
Well, it's 11 o'clock here too. It's not that morning anymore.
Okay. That's how we're in California. You know, it's still early. I wanted to get up, get the show done, and then I can go on with my day. I want to introduce you to our next guest. Our next guest is Wendy O'Donovan Phillips. She is the CEO of Big Buzz, a full service agency founded in 2007 to serve healthcare professionals. Good morning, Wendy. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining me. I love your backdrop. I love your scarf. You have that elegant, classy appeal. I just love it.
Thank you. I tried this morning.
I can tell. Even got the little pearl earrings. It's like, I'm gonna be ready for this show.
These are my Zoom earrings. They're really big. And so you could see them on Zoom. And I learned that like a bold lip and a big earring goes a long way on Zoom.
Oh, wow. See what you learn here on the Roundtable Talk Show? You never know. This is what you wear for Zoom. Take note. Now I'm going to bring you to our next guest who has become a dear friend of mine. He was on our show a couple of weeks ago. We had such a great time. We learned a lot. He shared his experiences, some of his personal story. And I said, you know what, Jay, you have to come back. So I'm going to introduce you to Jay Schiffman. He is the addiction and mental health speaker, writer, consulting coach, and host of Choose Your Struggle podcast. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa, and thank you for having me back. I've been looking forward to it since I was on last time, and I do want to apologize. I didn't follow Wendy's advice and get my bold lips on before I came on the show.
But you can't apologize for something you didn't know. If you'd have known, you know what I mean? We wouldn't need Wendy to tell us.
That's true. I do. You know what? I can go now. I've learned something already. I'm going to get my bold lips on. I'll be back next time.
Thank you. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what you pick up, learn a little bit, take it, and then go. You don't have to stay for the whole show, but you may miss out on some helpful tips. I'm sure Arden has a lot. BR, what are some helpful tips aside from the bold lips?
Oh, you know what? I am known for big earrings, like really big earrings. And so I will tell you, you can't wear too big, flashy, because then everyone looks at your earrings. I'm also like rocking Corona casual at this time because I'm just like, I can't do one more thing except get out of bed and focus on my client. So sometimes it's okay to just show up. Next time you see me, I will probably look 1,000 times better, but that's okay. You got to just show up some days.
That's interesting because one of the things I've been talking about is verbiage. You know what I mean? I've learned some new words during this whole global pandemic. One of the words we used to say grocery store. Now it's supply run. Like you don't go to the grocery store anymore. And it's like, I have to make a supply run, right? And so what used to be called a loan is now a loan that doesn't have to be repaid. So I'm like, okay, isn't that a grant? But you know,
it's a grant.
It's the verbiage that they use. And now I've learned Corona casual. So I don't technically know if I am Corona casual or not, but I know I'm comfortable. Is that the point of Corona casual?
It is. It's basically in like, you know, most of the time you're in all of your business attire. That's okay. You know, Lululemon, Athleta, all of that. That's your business attire now. That's your fancy stuff. If my top and bottom match, then I'm really doing a great job of the day.
like I said, when we started out the show, I was honest. I was upfront. I said, I have no idea where the conversation is going to go, but I know it's going to be interesting. So already we've discussed what to wear, what not to wear for Zoom, how to get ready for it. But I want to switch over and go back to Jay. One of the things that I really enjoyed about you on our past show is how vulnerable you are and how much of your own personal story you are to and willing to relate to everyone else. Because now you help people with addiction and mental health. But for people who are just learning about you, can you give us a little bit of, you know, of your story?
Yeah, and you know, thank you for the opportunity. I'm really glad you mentioned the vulnerability piece. I was talking to someone yesterday interviewing for a future podcast, and we were talking about how vulnerability begets vulnerability, that people have the wall that they exist behind, and until you show them that it's okay to tear that down, it's very rare for someone to do that. So, you know, I try that very hard in all of the conversations I have for my podcast to immediately open up and show my guest that it's okay to do so. So my story very briefly is I am 10 years in recovery myself from a prescription pill addiction that was started with a misdiagnosis in my teenage years, ended up in a situation where I attempted suicide in my early 20s, and clearly I failed because I'm still here. And it's one of the things I'm. Thank you. Yeah, and it's one of the things that I'm most happy to fail at in my life is my suicide attempt. So, you know, now I work with people who are very different ends of the issues of mental health spectrum, wherever that may be, and whatever that issue may be for them. And that includes everything from personal coaching to my podcast, the Choose Your Struggle podcast, about issues of mental health and addiction.
So with Choose Your Struggle podcast, how long has that been on the air?
Yeah, so I was really lucky to start this back in early February when I started to hear, you know, that these predictions were going to be right, that this was going to be as bad as they thought it was. And before this year, my speaking business was really what I was focused on. And obviously that went away very quickly. And realizing that I wasn't going to have those opportunities to impart the lessons and interact with people the way that I wanted to, I focused on the podcast. And I've been very lucky that it's taken off the way it has, but mostly because amazing people like you have agreed to come on it.
Yes, I'm going to be on your show. I believe it's, I don't know, the 11th or the 13th. I don't know, whatever that Wednesday is.
So our I'm going to be on... is coming up, and then it'll go out a couple weeks after that.
Okay. Yes, so it's coming up. And one of the reasons that I wanted to be a guest on your show is I wanted to share some of my own personal struggles with family and mental health and how people always assume that it can't happen to them or that it can't happen to their family. But almost everyone has someone somewhere in their family who has some type of struggles. So I believe we need to talk about it so it makes it less of a stigma. And so when you launched your podcast in February, was that easy for you to do? Because I know, I mean, just being a video cast host, it's not always easy for me to talk to people and to share my stories and share my experiences. How was that for you?
So there's sort of two answers in there. The actual subject matter was easy. This is what I do. And, you know, my Choose Your Struggle brand is all about that. It's figuring out what you're going to struggle for and then dedicating yourself to it and staying on that path. And so for me, I found that, and that's talking about issues of mental health and addiction. But as you correctly pointed out, it's not easy to do some of this work. And starting a podcast was very difficult. I was very lucky to have someone I want to give a quick shout out to. One of my best friends named Spark Tabor. He's a comedian in Chicago who also has a podcast. And when I said, dude, like, tell me what to do, he was very forthright with his time and with his expertise and really helped me through that. So if you want to laugh at a podcast, go check out Cookies for Breakfast. That's his. He's a very funny guy. We've been friends for over 20 years and definitely lucky to have him in my corner.
Are you supposed to have cookies for breakfast?
It comes from one of his bits. That's a line from one of his jokes is cookies for breakfast.
No, it sounds amazing because I'm the kind of person who would have cookies for breakfast, which is why I'm trying to stay off the show, my 600-pound life. Like, that's That's me in a nutshell. But when we talk about the things that we do or supposed to do, sometimes we don't know what the right thing to do is. That's why we need to go to professionals and ask for help. So either we're going to talk to someone like you, or maybe it's not mental health, or maybe it's not addiction. Maybe it's just, you know what? I don't know what my brand is. I don't know what the public face is. And then I'll go and speak to someone like Arden. Is that a question that I tend to bring to you? Is like, okay, what is my image? What is my brand? What should I do?
Oh, I get everything from, oh, I know exactly who I am. And I'm like, great. So how is that going for you? No one buys from me. That's because you're talking to one person and this is actually who you actually are. Or so what I help with Definita is like define you, right? Like we have a very cluttered marketplace. Everyone does everything. And, but what makes you different? Mm-hmm. That I dive in a lot with people, and a lot of it is your story. And I think we all have a story. So, you know, Jay's talking about what started him. What started him was the story of a misdiagnosis that led to an addiction that led to his life work. Well, most of us have some part of that. Like I'm a writer by nature. I'm a storyteller by nature. I've won awards in elementary and middle school that I didn't even know what I was doing. And so I've been able to take that and craft it and hear other people's stories and help them make money off of it. Because the other thing I like to do is make money. I love seeing I love making money. And so I think it's a really cool thing to get to sit with someone, digest it, and hit that vulnerability point too, right? Like, so if you can't be honest about who you are, or also honest about where you're failing. So for a long time, I did whatever they said PR people should do. And I was like, that is not who I am. I'm not the person going to show up polished all the time. I'm the PR person that gets in the dirt with you and digs in and does the dirty work and makes you look good. I don't need to be on the cover. I need you to be on the cover. So that those, the people that want that are the ones that resonate with me. The ones who are publicists being all over the place are not the ones that resonate with me. And that's cool because there's plenty of work for everyone. And here's Rudolph. He resonates. Rudolph's story is his life is perfect. He just had his egg. So
he's
ready to go.
I love that. I'm like, hi, Rudolph. I have another guest. My next guest on the Roundtable Talk Show is Rudolph. I don't know. We'll find out.
Rudolph the Irish Setter.
That sounds like a story. Rudolph the Irish Setter.
At some point in time, he will have his own story. Yes. Mm-hmm. And plenty of them. He's very popular. Everyone loves him. And his life is gold. The cats are starting to take to him. So, you know.
Does he have his own Instagram?
No, I barely can keep up with my Instagram. I'm certainly not keeping up with his. He just is, he lives a very private life. You know, he doesn't need everyone to know what he's doing.
Did you hear that spin though? Like that was a true PR representative right there. She said he lives a very private life. That was her response.
Yeah, right there. That's how we think, right? Like,
Yes.
There's never no comment. There's always, here's my comment to shut it down.
Yes, I love it. You know what? I love your energy. For people who don't know, because I think the one question that people always ask is, do I need a publicist? Why do I need a publicist? If I'm not an artist or a brand, maybe I'm a company, a small business. Do I still need a publicist? What exactly does a publicist do for me?
So I do a ton of media relations. So that means if you want something like this, if you want to be in front of the media telling your story, I find the right people to help you tell it. So PR is all about third-party authentication. So it's one thing to say, I'm so great at storytelling. It's another for you to have me on your show to say, oh, I love how she storytells. You've authenticated that I'm great at what I do. So that's what PR does, is it helps your public image with a third-party endorsement. Everyone's like, oh, I need a publicist. I'm like, well, I make people go through a strategy session with me first to figure out who you are in the market. It's what are your objectives? What's your communication objectives? Who's your target audience and what problems do you solve? And then we figure out what your position is. So you maybe could do a lot of that on your own. I could teach you how to do it and you could do it. When you really need someone like me is when you're doing such a good job at your business that you can't handle the media, you don't know how to talk, or if you need someone to come in and train you, because it's one thing to, oh my gosh, I got this local TV spot. But if you don't take the local TV spot, talk about it beforehand, make sure people watch it, put it on your website, add it to your SEO, then you had a 2-minute slot that went away tomorrow. So a really good publicist will force you to add it. You can look at my website and you see all the press I've gotten through a hashtag press button. But if somebody else doesn't add that, a PR person helps you push it forward. So it's a bigger brand than just a one-time, one-hit wonder. So,
well, what's your website? I have to take a look at all the press.
MarketingDefinita.com.
I love it.
Definita.com. Marketing and the made up word. But, you know, we PR people make up stuff all the time. So now it's real.
I think Beyonce that's the whole made up
Bootylicious. So I'm sure Definita will at some point in time be in the Urban Dictionary or something. I don't know.
Will Smith made up Jicky.
That's right.
That is true. That wasn't a real word.
No, it wasn't. It literally, like, it's a true story. Will Smith made up Jicky, and it's in the dictionary. The word never existed before getting jiggy with it. And I saw you, Jay. I saw you over there getting jiggy with it. I saw the shoulders moving.
So, okay. I'm Southern. So Southern people make up words all the time. So I've heard jig forever. You dance a little jig. So
no, but it's jiggy.
Jiggy. Look at Will Smith just making.
Well, you made up your own word, and then the government made up loans that don't have to be returned.
That's true.
Repaid. So I'm gonna make me up a word. I don't know what it is yet, but I'll let all of you know what my word is. Wendy, over to you. You have a business, Big Buzz. So I'm sure you know all about Big Buzz buzzes, I guess.
I do. And I so appreciate the conversation. I appreciate the way that you kicked things off, Jay. I do have a business, and I've been in business for 13 years. We are more on the marketing side than the PR side. I'm just dabbling in PR and trying to figure it out myself. So I might need some help there. But we really help healthcare executives and healthcare practice owners think through marketing and make great marketing decisions. That's really where our sweet spot is. And at the same time, I'm going to follow Jay's lead with the vulnerability and say that I myself am actually 4.5 years sober in recovery.
Congratulations.
And I share that because the business was for a long time like my front. Like if y'all ever seen the show Weeds, where she had like the big...
Yes.
She had the fakery, right? And then she had the whole operation. So I was always like, look at my business, look at my bold lip, look at my big earrings, look at my beautiful backdrop, look at my big business, look at my beautiful family, but don't look over here at how much I'm drinking and how much this is really killing me and everyone around me. And so I love what you're doing, Jay. I love that you've let us off with that moment of vulnerability, because I find, especially in this climate, now more than ever, I am letting my guard down to help my clients and the people, the industries that we serve, to help them let their guard down, because people are terrified. Mm-hmm. People are terrified. And so just to have spent, you know, the first couple of weeks of this crisis in lockdown, I spent on this phone over and over and over, just calling every client that we have and just saying, how are you doing in this moment right now? Not that cursory, you know, how you doing, but like, you know, genuinely, how are you? Like, this is really hard. And as a result of what I have learned in my recovery journey, and as a result of knowing that I have to show up in service in my business, and then the rest will come. Like, we're all worried about money right now, right? But I know in my core that will all figure itself out if I show up in service to my industry. So in these weeks, I've been doing these one-on-one calls and really connecting with clients. And I have had I've had people in my circle call me and say, I'm struggling with alcohol in my family. I've had people say, I'm struggling with thoughts of suicide, and we talk about the hotline. And I've had people come to me and say, I want to stop drinking through this. And you are someone that I've watched who's successful. And it's so humbling, because I look successful on the outside, but I played that card to the hilt. I played it so that nobody could see it. And now that I don't have to do that anymore, I like to do it. I still like to put on a bold lip, and I still like to be terribly organized, but I don't have to do it. And so I can spend my time being in conversations like this one, or I can spend my time when my phone rings and it's a close contact who says, I think I need your help right now. I can close my laptop, shut off everything else, go downstairs and pick up that call and genuinely be there for that person. And I think it comes round circle to what you were saying, Arden, about storytelling and brand. I have mentors who encourage me lightly to share more about my journey in recovery, because it is such a part of my brand. I mean, I'm in healthcare marketing. And I can't help executives who are leading marketing teams who are suffering in addiction. And I've had those scenarios where, you know, what do I do here? You know, can I be of service? And it's not about the marketing at that point, right? And it's also not about me, you know, laying my agenda on them. It's about, you know, where is this person in this space and time, and how can I show up vulnerably? And then how can I let it go? How can I let go of that outcome? And I mean, Arden, you and I know in PR and marketing, you got to do a lot of letting go of the outcome. You got to do a lot of legwork and letting go of the outcome. Yes. So it's just very interesting how, especially in this time, the lines of personal and business are all getting blurred. We have, you know, we have your dog coming in and saying hello. We might have my very old cat come down the stairs here in a few minutes, but it's also being blurred in just my everyday business too, where business is not so much about how are we going to push this marketing forward. It's about where are you in this space and time, and how can I show up and really be of service to you person to person?
You know what, in our businesses as well, or maybe this is just my personality, because I train people to speak, I train people to get in front of the media, I train people to do that, I have to get them at their most vulnerable. So if I'm not real with them as well, or if I'm not, you know, looking at them like, I don't politically agree with you, I don't emotionally agree with you, or there's certain things, but we can still work together, but if you're not going to be okay with it, if I can't be who I am, then they can't ultimately be who they are. That's what I was like, you know what? Sometimes I am going to show up looking like this, and that's okay, because I'm still, what I say is not going to change. You guys aren't allowed to do that. You can't show up because, I mean, that's just, you're going to be on TV or whatever, unless you're comfortable with yourself, right? Like, and that's this level of just being real with them. And it's exhausting sometimes too. So that's where it's just been like, this season has been, and I have seen more people, and it's not just addiction. So in the South, there's like this huge food addiction as well. Like the number of people who are like, I've gained 20 pounds during this and all this. I'm like, wait a second. It has been gorgeous 90% of the time. You're not traveling. You could be walking. You could be doing a lot of these sorts of things. And it's really interesting to me. I keep pushing people to go, make sure you're not pouring another glass or pouring another fried chicken or adding another cookie, because eventually that's still an addiction. And it's been, but it's difficult for people. A lot of us are single and living by ourselves and just like, what do I do with all of this extra time? Cause I've been busy, 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 that I don't know how to be still. And that's like something, Jay, you could probably answer, Wendy, like y'all are much more probably in tune than I am, because I'm just going, Lord, I can't pray anymore to you. You tired of hearing me? I'm tired of like, I can't watch one more sermon. My Elevation Church. And I'm like, Lord, Furtick has been caught. He preaches 2 hours every week. Like, what are you talking about? Like, we're all, I can't take it anymore.
You are funny, Artie. I love it. But you know, You are. You got to be in front of the camera more often. No, don't do that. Don't do that. We can't say that word. We can't say the C word.
What? That I'm nutty?
No, yeah. You're not. You're interested. You're interesting to watch. I love people who are just authentic, are just themselves, as opposed to people who try to put themselves in a box and respond a certain way. I love emotions. I love feelings. But you were 100%, 1,000% absolutely correct. And I was telling people before all the COVID-19 and I was getting ready to do this show, I did a 5-day juice cleanse. Mm-hmm. I started making sure I was drinking more water. I got my spring mix salad. I was ready to go. And then when COVID-19 happened, I was having McDonald's mocha frappes. I was having like cookies for breakfast. And it wasn't, I mean, it could be an addiction. I don't know, but it was I'm an emotional eater. I found that because I didn't know what was going on and what was going to happen in the world and what, you know, how the show was going to work out or how much money was going to come in. I needed something to comfort me, you know? So I'm in Southern California. It's not just a down South thing. It's like people in general, they want something, they need something to make them feel better when they are in this, you know, uncertainty. Or maybe it's just me, Jake. You know more about addictions than I do. Please speak on that.
Well, so I'm definitely, it's not just a Southern thing. Arden, I'm actually in Charleston, South Carolina, so I'm not too far from you. And yeah, I was in Charlotte not long ago. My father-in-law lives up there, so beautiful. Love Charlotte. But Sharifa, you make a very good point. I like to come back to the term mindfulness. And when someone says mindfulness, I guarantee every single person goes immediately to meditation, because that's sort of had a one-for-one correlation drawn for us. But the in reality, mindfulness, as you break it down, is simply just being in tune with yourself. And as you were saying, you know, you saw your habits change. Mindfulness can help in that moment to center yourself and saying, okay, why am I doing this? Am I actually hungry for these cookies for breakfast, or am I doing this because I want it to make me feel better? And if my guess is that it's the second one, and if that's the case, you can then say, okay, is this actually going to make me feel better, or is this the quickest way I know to release some dopamine and kind of help me ignore the problem? And again, it's that second one. So you start having these conversations and replacing some of the toxic thoughts and the bad habits with things that you know actually are helpful. You know, as Arden was saying, even as something as simple as going outside for a short walk, and of course practicing social distance and wearing a mask if you got to do it, but you know, staying away and being safe while doing that can have a huge impact. When I was on here last time, you know, we talked about how I created what I called the positive mental health mix on Spotify, because I know if I'm in the kitchen looking for that cookie or something, if I go, you know what, let me disrupt this thought for even 30 seconds, I'm not gonna want that anymore, because I'm not hungry. I'm just looking for something to release some positive feeling.
Let's talk about the playlist though, because you went in detail with it last time, but talk about what it is.
Yeah, so actually I've updated it since I was last on with a couple of the people that were on here with me last time. When I was on the show last time, there were two amazing young women who are both in show business, and Alyssa Musto, and her music, by the way, is incredible and is all over that playlist now, and Ainsley Ross as well. So the playlist is very simple. It's something anyone can find on Spotify, and it's just songs that are either about, you know, overcoming or about positive mental health, or just make you feel happy, like Pharrell's song Happy, which, you know, you put that on and unless you heard it 50,000 times and you're annoyed with it, it can't help but make you smile. So you know, for me, I've definitely opened it up, and it's open so other people can add to it as well, but I put it on if I just need a quick sort of break in that circuitry, that the negative thoughts that are spiraling or whatever the case is. And it's, you know, definitely it's helpful like that.
So how do we find it on Spotify?
Yeah, so if you search for positive mental health, it's right there. I have it on my homepage because I play it pretty much every day. You know, it. I don't know if you can see. Where's my camera? Looks like that. Okay. Positive mental health. By Jay Schiffman. And yeah, I mean, look, it's not unique to me. And if I would definitely encourage anyone to do that, whether you use mine or make your own, just put together 20, 30, 50 songs that make you smile or, you know, put you in a good place and have that on the ready in case something's, you know, getting you down, because all it takes is that quick break in the circuitry and you can start moving back upwards again.
Yes. Wendy, what are some of the things that help you? Because you said, you know, you're being more vulnerable. Your mentors advise you to share more of your story. What are some of the things that you learned to help you get through those thought process when you maybe wanted to reach for a drink?
Sure. There's a big answer to that. And I will say, I'm going to give a very simple answer. In this period, I mean, I have my vices. And I think that it's a normal, I was reminded that it is a normal human reaction to seek out comfort and in a really dysfunctional situation. We're in a really dysfunctional world situation, right? So it's a normal reaction to seek out that comfort. And for me, I grew up in the South. I love my sugar, and there was a whole thing about like people who are ex-drinkers, like, you know, we like a lot of sugar. And so I have been like really binging on the sugar. And it's one of those things where, and I appreciated what you said, Arden. I think that there's across social media, across just media in general, there's a normalization of all of this where it's like, oh yeah, I'm putting on 20 pounds in quarantine, or, you know, mommy's juice glass is filled up with our mommy's, you know, mommy's huge tumbler is filled up with wine. And there's this normalization and at the same time, this human need that, like, you know, I, this is hard to handle. Like, I need something. I need to give myself some grace. So I've just been trying to give myself some grace. And then I like what Jay said about like that circuit breaker, because now, and I love what you said, Jay, about does it actually make me feel better? Because I got to the point where I was like, overindulging in sugar. I get migraine headaches from eating chocolate and sugar. And I was like eating that every day and just not feeling well. And then it was compounding the issue, right? And yet sugar is just as addictive as some of the other things we've talked about. And so last 2 days, today's day three for me, not without sugar. And the last 2 days have been very hard for me. And I did have to do the sort of circuit breaker thing of like, okay, I'm not going to have a cookie. I'm not going to get my hand in the candy jar, but let me, you know, sit out back in the sunshine and eat a frozen bowl of cherries, right? Let me do some nice treat for myself. So, you know, I'm not perfect, and I have a Zoom little meeting with my daughter and my sister and my mom and my daughter, my niece. We're going to make cookies together for Mother's Day.
Oh, wow.
Class. And I'm like, why do we have to make cookies today? And so I'm like on the knife edge of, you know, okay, what have I learned about recovery that can help me, you know, in breaking this circuit from the cookie thing. So it, you know, it sounds silly, but, to stay in that comfort zone for too long for me, it can be really damaging. It can really make me not feel well and not be working at the peak of my game. And my business and my employees and my community and my industries need me to be at the top of my game right now. I hate the word balance, but it's giving myself grace and then that mindfulness, like Jay talked about, but what do I need in this moment? What choice am I making in this moment and why?
Yeah. Well, you make a really fantastic point about the sugar, Wendy. And that's, my wife and I have cut down to only one day of added sugar a week, because sugar's in everything and it's really hard to get rid of it completely, but not having those cookies or the cake or whatever the case is. And, you know, you make a great point. It is incredibly physically reliant the same way that a lot of the drugs or alcohol are. And a couple of years ago, I was at a conference and there was a speaker who was talking about you know, every generation's got those things that we look back on and go, how could they, you know, fill in the blank, right? And you know, you think about like my parents' generation and it was smoking or, you know, smoking on airplanes, all that kind of stuff. And so I raised my hand and I said, you know, all right, you've done this whole thing. You got to tell us, what are we doing today that we're going to look back on? And before I finished my question, he looked at me and said, sugar. He said, that stuff will kill you and we're putting it in everything. So I think it's, you know, we're learning a lot about that now. We kind of went super hard into sugar and it's in literally everything. And I think we're going to start seeing as our generation are getting a little bit older, the negative ramifications of that and see that it's starting to get dialed down a little bit. But, and we're already seeing some of that with legislation in some states limiting, you know, the size of Cokes and stuff like that. So you make a really great point about sugar.
I think it's one of those things where I have struggled with eating disorders and all this kind of thing. So I can't, like, if I totally limit it, my personality is, I'm an Enneagram 7. I don't know if y'all do Enneagram at all, but like I'm a total 7. Clearly I show up in big ways and I'm very sporadic and hyperactive and all these kinds of things. So what I tell myself is like, okay, do you want this really wonderful, well-made homemade pie or do you want that Snickers? And so what I do, like I choose to have, if I'm going to have a really great treat, it's going to be a really great treat. Like I ordered this pie that is like phenomenal. I'm not just going to like have sugar because I don't want anyone to think there's plenty of people watching this who have no addiction issues whatsoever, right? Like all of us clearly have some sort of propensity towards addiction. Not everyone does. So some people can seriously enjoy a glass of wine every night and be fine. Have their beer, have their martini, whatever. Others of us cannot. So you have to really know who you are and also know none of us are sitting here judging. We're just saying when you start to rely on something else, for me, I'm a Christian. So whenever I start to rely on anything other than God, okay, so that's becoming an idol in Christianese. So what can I do to walk away from that? And I think that's where we've got to, I want to make sure no one watching this is going, oh my gosh, we hate sugar. We think everyone's alcoholics, all these sorts of things. No, we're just like, okay, what can you do if it's that one day a week or that great ice cream, whatever it is, it's okay. Yeah. Just don't fall into such a level of depravity that you're not getting to function every day. Cause it's hard to function right now as it is. Like I run my own business and some days I'm like, I don't want to call anyone. I want to sit here and read my book and just be by myself or not be by myself, but just like have a smoothie and read a book and not be bothered. But it's hard to function. Someone's got to work around here.
I love that you both, I like the idea of added sugar one day a week. I love what you said, Arden, of, you know, if it's a handcrafted, homemade, you know, in my case, cookie that I made with three generations of family, maybe I could have one. And then I get to that black and white thinking of like, either I abstain altogether or I like completely indulge. And it's like, maybe there's some gray matter in there. And isn't time in the world teaching us about that gray matter, right? That like, what does success look like in a business? Or what does a podcast interview look like? And I love that Sharif is keeping it just really loose and light, you know? Yeah. I have a lot of learning to do there.
No, not at all. I mean, I love compliment the whole Sharif is keeping it loose and light. And Sharif is just keeping it honest and authentic. And that's what I want to bring to the roundtable talk show. Like as a group, as a collective, as a whole, the four of us, we decided that this is what we wanted to discuss because it was what matter to us this morning, you know. So I love the fact that people have an opportunity to speak about whatever is important to them. Tomorrow's show, those people may say, you know what, I only want to discuss business. I'm not interested in the fluff. And I'm like, okay, well, this is your show. This is our show. And this is what we're going to discuss. But I want to go back to something that you said, Wendy. And one of the things that I have learned, and this is right, wrong, or indifferent, is not that it's okay. That you don't have to beat yourself up or be hard on yourself because you maybe you ate that sugar today. you know, and I try just personally for myself not to set myself up for failure. Like, mm-hmm. to me, the most important thing right now is it's Mother's Day and that your family is together, whether it's on Zoom or wherever, they're together, they're having a moment. And to me, that memory is so much more important than that sugar that you have in that cookie. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong is they don't take into account the moments, the memories. And I always think one of the most beautiful things to say is remember when, because all of us could look back. And if I talk to Jay tomorrow, I'm saying, remember when we were on the round table, we were talking to Arden and Wendy. It's a memory that we're holding on to. So I wouldn't ruin that memory by worrying about the calories because it's a holiday. You know, mm-hmm. and I would say, okay, I'll have whatever cookies I desire to have, but maybe for the next 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, I wouldn't have any more cookies. But I sacrifice in that, you know, later to have that moment. And nothing that you said was silly. Nothing that we're saying is judgmental. It's sure. just that this is what we're going through at this moment. Yeah. And how can we help somebody? Because a lot of people are going through a lot of different emotions right now, and emotions tend to lead to addiction for some people, mm-hmm. as well as to suicidal thoughts for some people, mm-hmm. because one of the things that we were discussing, you know, as a collective before the show was how hard it is for some people to be simply shut in. You know, there's, you know, I saw a meme that said the introverts help extroverts because they're suffering right now, you know, and I'm an introvert. So I'm like, hey, this is me. But extroverts are like, oh my God, when is this over?
Right.
Yeah. Because I gain energy from people. I'm a true extrovert, Enneagram 7, all the things that are like people, people, people. And I've had people call me, they're like, are you okay? Like, how are you literally concerned about me? And I will definitely, I'll take a day every 14 days and do nothing and be in solitude, but it has been incredibly difficult. And so I poured myself so into work that I wore myself out that way, that it's just like, I mean, I've been working nonstop. Like, my business has been great. All things have been going great. But then you just get to this point where you're like, well, okay, what do I do now? This cannot continue. Like, someone much smarter than me needs to figure out a balance. Like, cause it's just too hard. And it is, I worry about people all the time. Like, yes, my doctor friends in healthcare, they're all seeing some really, my nurses are seeing some awful things, but then I'm just kind of like, but at what point in time, like, and I always keep talking about, this is a humanity issue. It's not a financial, it's a humanity issue. But at some point in time, humanity is also those of us who just need other people, whatever that looks like. And I don't know the answer. I wish someone would come up with the answer and get over the political side of it, whatever it is, but I don't want this to be a political show, but there is got to be an answer for this because it's just really hard.
Yeah.
Are you more introverted or extroverted, Wendy?
I'm an introvert who has trained herself to be an extrovert because I speak publicly. But like after this, I'm going to need to go lay down and meditate and get my energy back.
We're in the same boat, Wendy, because after every show, well, now I add it. See, you'll be proud of me, all of you. I've added walking every morning after the show. I go for a walk with my cousin and, you know, we're safe from all the people and all of that. But I have to get out of the house. But then I come back and I'm like, I'm ready for a nap. That's like before I get into my emails and looking for a new guest. But I've learned, and this is one thing that I may have learned this lesson before this, I don't know, but that has been driven home through COVID-19 and this global pandemic, is just the phrase, it's okay. Like, mm-hmm. if you need a nap right now, it's okay. If you don't need a nap right now, it's okay. You know, wow. It's more of just being okay with what you're feeling, what you're going through, what you're experiencing, as opposed to, I think there was a lot more judgment before. I would be like, well, what is Jay going to think about my nap? Is he going to think I'm lazy? Is he going to think that, you know, I'm not working hard, you know? But now I'm like, hey, I need a nap. If Jay's okay with it or not, I need a nap. Have you found that? What are your thoughts on that, Jay?
Well, I think, first of all, Sharifa, you take that nap when you want to take that nap. I have no judgment here. Look, all jokes aside, you do make a great point. It's, you know, when this first started, we saw a lot of, you know, posts and memes and stuff about how, you know, Shakespeare wrote whatever during the virus of 15, whatever it was. And all these stories about people who have persevered through similar circumstances. And those are all true. And if you feel like using this time to be productive in some kind of way, then props to you. And, you know, I fall into that camp. Like I said, I've been busier over the last, 2 months than I was in the 3 months before that. And that's great. I feel good about what I'm able to provide to people during this time. At the same time, there are a lot of people I know who are using this time to pause. You know, they're not learning new hobbies or starting new hobbies. They're not learning new languages. They're not developing new skills. This is their break from an otherwise hectic go, go, go lifestyle. And so where are those posts celebrating Karen who took a bath for the seventh day in a row? You know, where are these celebrations of people like you were saying, Sharifa, that have figured out a way to be mindful and be present and be able to pause in their otherwise just ridiculously hectic lifestyle? So, you know, it really is personal, and those are the two extremes. And as I think Arden was saying earlier, you know, we do need to figure out a way, not just on that topic, but overall, we live in a very black and white culture. And in reality, 95% of our lives are shades of gray. And so figuring out where you are in that spectrum is super important. And then using that as knowledge, using that as a platform to do to live your best self is incredibly important. I think a lot of people are learning that right now.
Mm-hmm. And this whole quarantine period has been like a study in self, right? That like any problem that I have can't possibly be outside of me because there's not a whole lot going on around here. And so anything that I'm suffering, I have to look introspectively at like, what's going on with me and what do I need right now? And then as a leader in a business and in an industry, I have to keep my feelers up for like, you know, how are my people doing? And yesterday I saw a group chat amongst my employees and they were all, several of them were saying, I'm having a really hard time transitioning from work to home time. And so, you know, I got up on the chat and I just shared, you know, I've been commuting. I actually get in my car and I drive for, you know, anywhere from a mile to, you know, 30 minutes, whatever it takes for me to just decompress. And I'm a big napper, love the nap. Like the 20 minute cat nap is like where it's at. And last Friday I hit the wall. I chatted my team and I was like, guys, I'm not doing well. I had a migraine. I had way too much chocolate the day before. And I got offline, shut everything down and laid down for 2.5 hours. And I needed it so badly. That probably is not what my team members need today. Might be, I don't know. It's not up to me, but to model that, like I feel a responsibility as a business leader to model that for my people and to model that, you know, for my clients and to have these kinds of conversations. Cause I think prior to, we were coming up on this for a long time, right? Brené Brown has been writing about things like this, Elizabeth Gilbert, you know, we've been coming up on it and we've been talking a lot about mindfulness, but now it's like, you don't really have any other choice than to like, look introspectively at what do I need in this moment and how am I going to move forward? And then how am I going to forgive myself, you know, and how am I going to give myself grace when I don't make the choices that I want to make? And then how do I start anew the next time? So it's, I've really enjoyed it, Sharifa. I've really enjoyed like the quiet time, the time with my family. I said to a friend recently, I'm like, I'm kind of sad that things are opening back up, which is terrible. Don't tell my clients I said that. I'm happy that their businesses are opening back up, but I have, and I'd like to carry some of this through, but, you know, into the new world. But again, like we get addicted. I got addicted to the idea that my schedule had to be full like this. Right. Yeah. Like that as a working mom that I had to run around all the time. That's what culture, you know, makes me do. And that's what all my peers do. And as soon as the shutdown happened, I'm like, why do we do that? Like, right. Why does my daughter need to go to Taekwondo 3 days a week at 8:10? Why?
She doesn't think it's going to continue though, because I have just as many friends who are working at home and their bosses are all over them. Tell me what you did today.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, it's cool, that all of us, like, I've been in business with myself long enough to know, girl, if you need to take a day, take a day. It's fine, whatever. Yeah. But I have heard from other people that their bosses are just like, what are you doing? Give me a report every hour. Like, their teachers are, you got to give a report every hour. And I just keep going, okay, so I've learned this. Brené Brown, I've studied Brené Brown forever. But holistically, and this is right, do you think it'll continue? Like, we as Americans are so programmed for go, go, go. Right. And I'm very curious if this will be a lesson all of us learn, or if it's just like, it'll be in the history books and then our kids will be going, oh my God, that sounds awful or wonderful, but they didn't learn anything from it.
I think we learned something as a society, because one, for me, this is all interesting. It's I'm watching it play out. I built my first website in 1994, and I did that for one reason only, and that was simply to be a stay-at-home mom. My daughter's 26 now. I wanted to be at home with my daughter. My son's 23. And so back then in 1994, if you didn't go to work, you were lazy. Period. That was what people associated with. It doesn't matter how much money you made or what you were doing. If you didn't leave the house, you were lazy. That was it. And that was all. Now bring it forward to, I'm just going to go to 2019, not even 2020, but to 2019. And you look around and the whole energy had changed to where people would say, oh, you actually go to work? Like, who goes to work anymore? Like, nobody does that. Because when you look at your top executives, the majority of the top executives, they work from home. Or maybe they weren't a top executive. Maybe they work from home 2 out of 3 days. Or, you know, if they decided that they didn't want to go into the office, they can decide to work from home. But the culture has changed. Then you go to 2020 and you go through this global pandemic. I've seen and I've spoken to many of my guests who have said, literally, I got this high-rise building in downtown Los Angeles that cost me, you know, millions of dollars. COVID-19 happened, and, you know, all of my 2,000 employees are now working from home. So what do I need this building for? Because remember, in 1994, to have a website was unheard of, but also to have a computer or a laptop. People didn't have laptops. They didn't have their own all-in-one printer. They had to go to the office to print. They had to go to the office to fax. So now these things, like you were speaking about our children, it's like every day for them to have a laptop in their bed. You know, they're doing what they do. So society has changed. So we're creating a new norm. But my mother, for instance, she works for a large corporation. She's now working from home, and she says she runs her department. But now when she gets to work, she has to check in and says, I'm at work. When she goes to lunch, when she goes to break, when she gets off work, she never has done that before. She just went. She did her job. She had no one to check in with. But the blessing for her, she's planning on retiring this year, is that she doesn't want to go back to the office. She wants to spend this year at home, whether the other people go into the office or not. She wants to stay at home. And her CEO of her company put out an email to everyone that said they are going to look at new options to allow some people who are interested in working at home to remain at home, whereas there's some people who prefer going into the office. When I first started working at home years ago, I always said the one thing that I missed was coworkers. So I made me some coworkers now. I'm like, I need somebody to talk to. It's not the work that I do or where I do the work, but, you know, I went to work when I actually had a job to go to lunch. Like, I do my job, but I'm like, I gotta talk to Arden. What's going on, girl? It's lunchtime. Let's go grab us some food. And then you're on mute, Arden. I missed what you just said.
Oh, I just said yes. I know there was a loud noise. Yeah, like, I don't know. I always work out. So my thing is my workouts were my social time. I don't know. It's just really interesting because there's just as many, like, our friends and coworkers who are essential workers who are, I know we think everyone has a computer, but there's just as many of our low-income children, our low-income work, like, if you have 4 children at home, having a laptop for all of them is very difficult. And I'm just like, where are we as a society? Where are our priorities? What are we doing? How are we helping? It's just been such a, and that's probably why I get depressed and sad, because it's just this whole issue of the haves and have nots are just getting bigger. I have a show I'm doing with Arden's Chats. Like, the fact that our Black community is twice as, like, dying twice as much from COVID.
Yeah.
Why is this? Like, a lot of it is because they're having to go to work and there are essential workers and all these sorts of things. I'm going, are we going to learn anything? Are we going to love each other more? Are we going to be more cognizant of each other? I'm hopeful all of these things are going to come out. But I think it's just really shown rich versus poor, and not like I'm not rich, but like I have never struggled for anything, but all of our kids, that was the biggest thing. I work for a county commissioner. Where are our kids going to get lunch, breakfast and lunch? Because a lot of our low-income children,
headed at school,
that was their lunch, right? Like, how can we, there's plenty of people who are totally like, North Carolina has been the backup for, you know, unemployment, all these sorts, all of this stuff is just bubbling up more. And I hope we'll continue to address it. I hope we'll continue to look at how are we serving our children? How are we serving our people that are taking public transportation? And how are we protecting them? Because working at home is not a big deal for me, but so many of our essential workers can't work at home, right? Like, I don't know. That's a whole different topic, but those are things that I think probably get in my head and why I get so depressed, because I'm like, we can't fix everything. And we've really seen a lot of our socioeconomic issues come up that I wish we could address more. And I don't know, like, is that going on in y'all cities too? Like, are you seeing it?
I mean, that's,
I'm definitely seeing it. I'm definitely seeing Arden, and please don't get sad or get depressed, because
I'm not gonna get sad. I just think it's really interesting.
No, I mean, and just in general, because there's only so much that we can do, and as long as we're doing then that's the good thing. But to your credit and to your point, is those are the conversations I believe that we are having that we never had before. Like, we're talking about these things, you know, so many, I'm just so happy to see Arden's Chats and so many in the Jay's Choose Your Struggle podcast. These are the conversations, the roundtable talk show. These are the conversations that are occurring simply because people said, you know what? We were caught off guard. We had no idea, but you know what? Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. You know, one of the things that we had a conversation on one of the shows is just simply manufacturing. You know, we always knew how much, you know, this is bought in China, this is made in China, this is made in China. But when this whole epidemic happened and we couldn't get everything we needed because we don't have everything made in America. So there are so many conversations that have started, and there's a blessing in every curse. I would love for all of you, because this has just been an amazing show, an honest, authentic, vulnerable show. Definitely come back. I know Jay's going to come back. He's probably just, we're going to get Jay to be a regular, but Arden, Wendy, please come back.
Yeah,
I have enjoyed the conversation. And just at the end, Arden's like, more topics to discuss. So come back and we'll discuss them. Yeah. But we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives, and just let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. So I'm going to give you a few minutes, Arden.
You know, with me, I'd come check my website, check out what I'm doing. But I was just thinking that the beauty of this season is it's allowed all of us to get curious and just get curious about why we do what we do. And I think that's the beauty of storytelling, is I created a niche for myself where I just get to find out about people and what's your story and why you want to do it. And come find me, Arden McLaughlin, at Instagram is generally the easiest way. But yeah, I'd love to stay in touch and come back on again, and we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about then, like how to get press for yourself, how to get comfortable just being you. And I think that's been a cool thing that I've learned here, is like, we're all very comfortable with ourselves, and I think everyone should be. So that's me.
I love it, Jay.
Yeah, you know, I definitely love being on this show. It's a lot of fun. I'll look forward to round three. Everyone can find me at my website, www.jayshifman.com, or my podcast, the Choose Your Struggle podcast, which is on more platforms than I can remember. So search for it wherever you listen to your podcast. Definitely look forward to talking to any and all of you. I've been, you know, the number one way I think I've been interacting with people during this, besides the podcast, is a lot of people reaching out, a lot of people just needing someone to talk to. And, you know, that's what I do with my coaching. And, you know, I love it. So definitely don't hesitate. If you just need someone to talk to, I'm here. Find me at my website. And Sharifa, thank you so much for having me again.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining me again. Wendy, take us out.
Sure. So if you're interested in what I do professionally, you can find information at bigbuzzincinc.com. And I would just challenge listeners to pick up that 500-pound weight that is the phone and make at least one, if not three, phone calls today and just ask the person on the other line how they're doing. How are you doing in this moment right now? And the rewards that I have gotten from doing that have just, I mean, paid off in dividends. So have a great day.
Thank you, Wendy. I am going to pick up my phone right here as soon as I finish my nap. Okay. And
right. Me too.
No judgment. Take as long as you need.
Thanks, Jay.
I'm going to call at least three people, and I'm going to make sure I have enough time to wait for the response to how you're doing. Because so often we say, like you were saying early, how are you? And then we don't really care. We just go on with the conversation. It's just more of something we ask to be polite. But I want to ask the question, how are you doing right now, this moment, and wait and listen and allow for another platform for someone to respond. And this is why I love the Roundtable Talk Show, because again, I never know where it's going to go, but I know it's going to go somewhere great, and it's going to go exactly where it's supposed to go. And that's what happened today. All of you showed up, showed out, and you shared, and you were vulnerable. So I appreciate you. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in live for the show, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives. I am going to ask for your support. Please share the show, because again, our guests have given of their time, their energy, they're sharing their stories, and we want you to support them, which is why I put their bios as well as their website links in the description of the show. Check out their websites, follow them on social media. If you do have a conversation with them, if you send them a tweet, an Instagram message, please be sure to tell them Sharifa said hi, okay? I will be back tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Roundtable Talk Show. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.